Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of Yolitics here. We are spending this episode marking one of the darker days in Texas history, at least recent Texas history. It has now been 1 year since those deadly July 4th floods that just destroyed Central Texas and took so many young, innocent lives at those camps. And Jason, I know you used to work in San Antonio. You know this area very well, don't you?
Yeah, I worked in San Antonio and in Austin and spent a lot of time out in that part of the Hill Country, including for floods. These rivers have done this over and over again over the years. We've seen tragedy after tragedy, and you know it happens in different generations. Sometimes it happens multiple times in a generation, but this one was certainly one that was for the record books, and it really spurred a lot of action this time. A lot of times we hear, you know, after these big flooding events, like, oh, you know, we need to, you know, look into, you know, ways to make this better or safer. This time, I think it really hit a chord with so many Texans and so many legislators in Austin, because so many of these victims were young. They were kids. They were at these summer camps where everything was supposed to be safe. They were supposed to be taken care of. Of course, we know how it ended in just absolute tragedy. We just had that report that came out about Camp Mystic as well, Jason.
Yeah, the legislature just commissioned that report. The final report just came out here. The Camp Mystic tragedy was ideally the worst here, with the two counselors and a couple of dozen, 19 campers who died.
There's last 25, year. 25 campers,
25
and two
total.
Counselors there.
Yeah,
and then it's at least 135 people total killed in those floods.
It's heartbreaking anytime you talk to any of the victims, and then so much more so for the parents of those young girls who died at Camp Mystic. But as you said, the legislature acted fast, read the room here, and people wanted something done. And it seems like, you know, this is not over by any means, despite the legislature going back into session for a special session last year to address this. The lawmaker in Texas who really led on this is State Senator Paul Bettencourt, Republican from Houston. And Senator Bettencourt's on the line with us from Houston. Senator, it's good to see you again. You and I have talked a lot, but this is some really important legislation that you got passed last year.
Well, the urgency was obvious due to the number of people that died and also the tragedy at Camp Mystic, which is just horrifying. When you listen to the Heavens 27 families come in and they testify, that the grief is just overwhelming. And but the problem was obvious. Look, like Jason, I've spent my 1970s as a kid on the Guadalupe River. So you know what that's like, and it has been subject to flash flooding. Even south of Canyon Dam, I can remember when they would release more water, a siren would go off. So when I saw this flooding, I immediately picked up the phone, called Lieutenant Governor Patrick, because I just had literally typed it out on a tweet. He was also had typed out on a tweet. We both came up with the idea that we need sirens again, and to try to get people out of the way of this wall of water that's rushing downstream. So, because we could just tell that from what the talk was, that so many people just don't listen to this phone at night. We're easily capable of taking off. So that's why we came up with the siren bill, Jason.
Well, recap, if you will, before we start getting into what's going on here. Recap, if you can, here, the legislation that you authored that got passed and the changes that have now been enacted on waterways across the state.
Well, there were several bills that passed, but the bill that I was responsible for was the flood warnings emergency siren system. It was the bill that basically said you've got to put sirens into these Edwards County, Plateau County's watersheds, because it's all the same problem. You know, too much water on the upper Guadalupe River is what led to this tragedy. You know, you look at the Colorado River, too much water led to that tragedy less than a week later up by the city of Austin. And basically what we're trying to do here is to get people out of the way, because you don't have to have them evacuate the county, but when they hear that siren, they've got to get to higher ground. And the real tragedy of Camp Mystic is they didn't have a plan whatsoever. And maybe if they had heard the siren, they could have gotten up 10 feet of elevation, which is what would have been enough to save the kids. It's just so shockingly simple. Mm-hmm. And it didn't occur. It's just horrifying tragedy to those 27 families, because obviously they'll never get their daughters back.
Yeah, Senator Betancourt, one of the things that made this one in particular so awful was because it happened in the middle of the night. And it wasn't something where you could look out the window necessarily and see what was happening if you were staying on a pretty dark part of the river there. And if you didn't have communication, you didn't know about it. And certainly there were no sirens. Senator Betancourt, today, like right now, if this happened again, if we had this kind of flooding event again in that same area, what is different today than it was a year ago? And do you think it would prevent the kind of loss of life that we saw?
I think it would prevent the kind of loss of life we saw. Right now, we've got 6 operational sirens that are up on the Upper Guadalupe River. And from testimony with the Upper Guadalupe River, who originally wasn't for them, along with Kerr County government wasn't, but after that testimony that I had with them, they changed their minds. It would have given about 21 minutes notice that you would have literally 21 minutes. This big rise of water was headed your way, and you could just get to higher ground. You don't have to get people out of the county. You just got to get them high, you know, and not hanging on to trees. Just get them out of the way. So I think that that's a positive step. If anything came from the tragedy, it's a recognition that you got 135 people killed, and it's time to do something about it, not just talk about it. My technology background allowed me to be able to put together what was already happening at the Lower Colorado River Authority and other ideas that we could put together quickly, because the governor's office had also been in contact with the LCRA about it. Look, it's just obvious you have to do everything you can to get people out of the way of flash flood. The only way to survive a flash flood for sure is not to be in the water.
And 10 feet could have saved their lives. That's just remarkable to think about when you look at the images with the water that just ravaged through these canyons as well.
Well, I mean, I think all of us have seen the water at the highway, where the water literally came up 40 feet. And then there's this floating house that's floating, you know, downstream, that finally bumps up against the bridge. And literally there's a cat looking out from the inside to the bridge, trying to figure out how to get out. Now that occurs, but see, there's a history. You go back long enough, I think, and I'm going from memory, 1980s, there was a problem with the Guadalupe River. They were evacuating people from the camps. Instead of just getting them up to high ground, they tried to recross the Guadalupe, and they lost a couple buses of kids. So you have to reinvent what's the right answer. The right answer is get people out of the way before they have to swim for it, or they'll be literally washed downstream.
Senator Betancourt, you've been around for a while there in the legislature, and you touched on this just briefly a moment ago, that, you know, this had been brought up in the past, you know, putting in sirens. There was pushback locally. There was pushback in the legislature. It didn't get done, even though, you know, we have institutional knowledge here in this state that this happens. It's going to happen again, too. Why do you think this didn't happen? Why do you think that these measures didn't go into effect before this happened?
Denial of the obvious. You know, you have to recognize the obvious. Now, when you go back and look at the flooding in the Hill Country, there was actually a written engineering report that Kerr County used that said that sirens were not effectively recommended, because what's going to be the effect on the visitors? Okay. And I literally read that in the hearing, and I went down and I said, starting with the president of the Guadalupe River Authority, you know, would you like to change your mind? Are you now for sirens? The answer is yes. And then I had 3 of the Kerr officials there, sheriff, judge. I said, are y'all ready to change your mind? And the answer is yes. So if you don't recognize the obvious, you end up with trouble both locally and in the state. But there was no doubt that the magnitude of the flood got everybody's attention. The magnitude of the loss got everybody's attention, of 135 people. And the horrible tragedy, every life is lost is a tragedy, but all 27 of those kids and the counselors in one room was just horrifyingly bad. It broke through all the disagreement, which was still going on when we were in Kerrville with Mayor Joe and others, and he was immediately saying, yes, we need these siren systems. But I literally had to go down a line one by one and use, you know, legislative questioning to get everybody to change their mind. So now the good news is that all 30 counties have now applied for these grants. And so we're going to get stuff done in all these watersheds. It's not going to be done before July the 4th, but the priority was to make sure that Upper Guadalupe River had the sirens. And it's an important step forward. You have to start immediately with something that works, get it to the field, get the money, because the small counties don't have the cash, and just get it out there so they can use it. Because we may not have to use it this summer, but within 10 years, believe me, we'll be using it somewhere. No question about it. And it will save lives then.
Your legislation requires all watersheds to have this. When will the other watersheds have these early warning systems? And secondly, what do you want the legislature to look at next session when y'all return in January?
Well, we're already going to look at the legislation, because the initial view was to have the Texas Water Board, which done a really good job on this, look at all the watersheds of the 11 or so rivers in the Edwards Plateau and pick out places to put the sirens. Now, because the sirens right now are asking for perpetual leases and things like that, and the initial map, it was probably a worst case basis, they're probably going to want to change those maps. So they've already asked for that authority, both the locals as well as the water board. So we'll be looking at that. And then really we were looking at how well this is, how well the implementation's gone. One area that's already been resolved, that's in Senator Perry's bill, about having camps, having backup internet capability. Many of the camps are 30 miles away from fiber. There was a lawsuit where everybody agreed to not implement that. That's going to have to be changed, because you can't force people to have fiber when there's no fiber available. You really just want to have a backup satellite system and so that there's redundancy. That's really what that clause was attempting to do. So there's things we have to do and look at it.
Is it all just tweaking at this point, or do you think there's anything else substantial that the legislature should consider when it comes to the threat of these flash floods?
Well, on the flood warning siren system, we need to get it deployed, and then we need to make sure that it's working well and look at those metrics. Jason, there's a little bit of audio problem on your mic right now, so I couldn't quite hear that. But I think that's what you're asking. Now, there may be other areas of the state that need some modified version of this for different reasons. So I'll certainly be open to that. We've already got, you know, sirens out in Tornado Alley, and they work because that was another reason that both Lieutenant Governor and I thought about this. And quite frankly, we're of the generation that it was duck and cover. So we actually heard these sirens when we were, you know, during these tests back in the pre-salt nuclear days.
Senator Betancourt, I noticed one of the things that came out of that Camp Mystic report that legislators were buzzing about was even something so small and so simple as the inability of camp counselors to reach the camp's owners during the flood. In a lot of cases, these counselors surrender their phones, and in some of those cases, they were not given any kind of a radio or anything to be able to communicate. That's another thing that some legislators say that they're going to start focusing in on come January in the next legislative session. And that directly came out of that investigation that was done into the tragedy there. So it sounds like there's a lot of little things that might still need to be addressed here. Do you see anything big still that's going to have to be taken on by the legislature in regard to this issue?
Well, Senator Perry's already talked about trying to get a volunteer database out there that he wants to refile that bill. So when we get in these tragedies, there's a group of people we can call on, regardless of where in the state they live. The one of the saddest things, if I have this correctly, because I can remember it, was I think one of the kids actually got a message out to their parents, and they were standing in ankle deep water at the time. And if they could have just walked out at that point of that cabin, they would be alive today, or certainly the vast majority would be alive today to talk about it. So the summary, I guess, was best put by Judge Massengale, who said there was no plan. When the families walked in, I said, we're going to hear about a lot of camps that did a lot of good things, but we're going to hear about Camp Mystic, which did everything horribly wrong because they just didn't have a plan.
That stuck with me too, Senator Betancourt, that statement that there might as well have just not even been a plan. So my question there is, as lawmakers, you know, you all meet there in the Capitol, you pass these laws, they're on the books here in Texas. How much of this is going to come down, though, to enforcement as we go forward, making sure that the plans are in place, making sure that people have that internet backup, making sure those sirens are working, making sure that those flood zone laws are being respected as far as developments go and so forth? How much is that reliant upon the enforcement?
Jason, it's a great question, and it's already in the legislation that passed. You can't get a license unless you have a plan. You know, the reason why people were arguing over the redundancy, okay, was because if you didn't have a redundant system, you couldn't get a plan. You couldn't get a license because your plan wasn't approved. So it's a pretty big hammer, because if you don't get licensed, you cannot have your camp and you have zero revenue. Okay. So with all of that, I think that hammer is strong enough to get there. And look, there's civil litigation in process on Camp Mystic. I don't know how long it's going to take, but that's also in the courts as well. So that, but everybody got the message that this has to be enforced. Look, the reason why we went to sirens was this: Texans know how to turn these alerts off five times more than Vermonters. Jason, the other Jason. You know why?
Because it goes off all the time.
Thank you. Right, Jason. I love it. I'm like dealing with Jason squared here, but right. You always will get the answer right, one of the two of y'all, okay? Because it goes off all the time. And because there's AMB alerts, there's blue alerts, there's all these alerts. So we turn these off because we're getting too many of them. Texas is too big. And Vermont, a smaller state, and they probably worry about that during blizzard season. Yeah. So one of the reasons why we went to the auditory siren system is because if you're not turning these off at night, people over roughly a third turn them off. But you silence your alarm, and that means you'll never hear anything.
Senator.
So the siren is a last ditch attempt that said something real is coming down. The wall of water is coming. You can't survive it. You can't outswim it. Okay. If you survive, it's merely by the grace of God. You've got to get to higher ground.
Senator, what would Camp Mystic have to demonstrate for you to support its reopening?
Okay. Well, I lost about half of the audio, Jason, yeah. But I think you're asking about Camp Mystic. They got to follow the laws. Got to follow all the laws, just like every other law does, every other camp follows right now. They have to get a plan. They have to get it approved. They have to have somebody qualified to be the, the health officer? I can't remember the exact term, but that person lost their license too. So, you've got to follow these laws. The reason why there was so much worry about the extra internet connection, which I think was a great discussion, was because without it, they couldn't get their license. They can't operate.
And do you think that Camp Mystic can ever regain the trust of Texas families?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because the Heavens 27 people make a very strong point that they can't. However, there's 100 years of people that have gone to that camp that didn't result in their deaths. So that's something the courts are going to have to adjudicate in that civil case. My guess is someday some camp will open, whether it's called Camp Mystic or not, in that area. They'll have learned all the lessons of where not to build. They'll have an emergency evacuation plan. They'll have people certified someday in the future. I just can't tell you when or who it will be. But it's a beautiful spot on the Guadalupe River. And it was a terrible tragedy that one of the most beautiful spots had the greatest loss of life. But when you don't pay attention to your business, you don't have a plan, you don't do what you need to do to get kids out of harm's way, then that's what can happen to you. And that's a lesson that will be learned for decades on that river. The fact that Texas had 135 deaths is a lesson that we only needed to hear once with this generation of leadership certainly in the Texas Senate and the House, because they passed it immediately as well. So I think that lesson is learned, but what happens there is now up to the courts.
Senator, you mentioned, how idyllic this area along the river is. It is truly gorgeous out there. This is always one of those tensions that plays out when you have a beautiful place that is right next to water. It's that, the enjoyment factor versus the safety factor. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but ProPublica and the Texas Tribune did a phenomenal job, sort of looking back at the floods and some of the issues there. They pointed out that Texas has more buildings in flood-prone areas than any other state except for Florida, and that Texas has the most fatalities over the decades from flooding. And I'm curious, this might sound like a big thing. It's been before the legislature before. In Houston, in Harris County, after Hurricane Harvey years ago there in your area, they did some things that were pretty big after that storm. It flooded such a big area. They passed this enormous bond issue and started buying up properties. If somebody didn't want to go back and rebuild, they just bought out that property, kept it from being developed again. They also moved to this idea of, hey, if you're going to rebuild in the 100-year floodplain, you have to rebuild to the 500-year floodplain standard. Is there any appetite in the legislature, do you think, for big moves like that along these rivers?
Well, a lot happened in Harris County since that flood, and I was a big proponent of many of those items that you talked about. We just recently got a federal court case where the federal government is going to be held liable for the fact that they made a decision to flood downstream and that there would actually be effectively a taking of the property as a result. So we have to look at these laws and make sure we understand what's happening. I had a home that was in that area, or we were the only subdivision high enough to look like Venice. The homes weren't flooded. And I actually had Senator Hughes, Jason, and Representative Cole drive their bass boat rig up to my house to dock at the Betancourt Marina at one point, I think on Thursday. So yes, that type of stuff was on my mind when I saw this too, Jason. The one thing that will always stick in my mind is listening to the RV campground director who was on the phone. She was calling the sheriff's office. She was worried about the weather. She called the sheriff's office. They said, don't worry about it. It's not, and she went to sleep at 2, and she had rented an RV in the middle of the stream. Okay. In the middle of the stream. All right. Now they tried heroically to save that family, and they couldn't do it. But yes, we have to recognize the obvious. You can't rent in the middle of the stream anything, okay? Much less build there, okay? So yes, we've had lessons learned enough to where they certainly got my attention, which is why I immediately volunteered like that to to file that bill and get it passed.
But do you think that we might see in a future legislative session a push again to try to strengthen those building codes along some of these rivers that chronically have these issues?
Sure, because you have to, again, look, there is no fact or supposition to fact that you could do even short-term rentals in the stream bed, okay? Because you can get a thunderstorm that dumps 2 inches of rain right upstream or 6 inches of rain. And look, nobody else may be affected, but I guarantee you that RV camper on top of that 6-inch, you know, a high piece of caliche limestone, whatever they were sitting on, is going to get washed downstream. So, yes, I think there's always an appetite to look at what is illogical and dangerous. And those type of short-term rentals are for sure. I posted a lot about the flood warning siren system, and I've heard, got a lot of stories back on my social media. And some of the lucky people were, they got out, but their home is gone. So we just have to look at what is, you know, a height limit that makes sense in these arroyos, which is really what their technical definition is. When you build permanent structures, and you have to allow that recognition to occur. So I'm going to look forward to seeing what that is. I'm not on that committee, but I do have an interest in it.
Do you think there's an appetite for that, though? There's always been that pushback from people here in Texas, though, who say property rights, you know, I have the right to build here if I want to and do it my way and et cetera, et cetera. And then in a lot of cases, these locals don't have the budget or the system to be able to go out and do the inspections like they should be doing.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, Jason, we just gave the money, because that was also something that the governor, lieutenant governor, and the speaker all just give them the money. Don't make it an argument anymore. Just hand it to them so that we can get past all those arguments that had gummed up this stuff for a decade. But look, I'll tell you right now, without, you know, again, I mean, I would vote for, I don't care. You know, I love property rights. I think it's enormously important in Texas to respect property rights, but you can't rent anything in the middle of a stream. You just can't do it. I'm not even talking about the floodway. I'm talking about in the middle of the channel. You just can't put a camper out there, because I've been in, you know, once every 3 years, we have a problem that's at least medium. And once every decade, we have an enormous problem in the Hill Country. You just can't put people literally in the middle of a stream bed. It's you're just asking for trouble. So don't do it. We don't want anybody to not come home from their summer vacation.
Senator, when you zoom out here, I know we haven't had a full look at the legislation yet since summer camps are just really spinning up right now. But do you think there are any gaps that remain at all across the state in this response?
Well, look, if there's any gaps, I can speak for my friend, Senator Perry. He'll find them and he'll put them into a bill. Okay, that's his nature. I'm looking for what the usage rate is on all 30 counties. I'm very happy they've all applied for the grant. I want to see how many locations they've got their sirens up. They may make a logical argument that the maps that the Texas Water Development Board, we're overpopulated with sirens. We'll take a look at all this and tune it up for next. But I think of getting it right, I think these bills really did get it right, which is change the fact that if you want to run a summer camp, you've got to have an emergency evacuation plan. And if you don't, you don't get a license. And if you need communications, then you need backup communications. You need two lines, you know, whether it's Starlink or some other commercial enterprise, who cares? As long as they have two, you know, AT&T fiber, doesn't matter. Just as long as they have two of them. And then for the siren systems, I think we hit it right, because for us that have been on that river for a while, and if you've ever been downstream of Canyon Dam, you know, and there's other Lower Colorado River Authority uses in other places. You hear that siren, everybody looks up and they're starting to figure, what's my problem? And on a clear day, they'll know that a dam is releasing more Okay. But on a turbulent day or you know, a day with a tremendous amount of thunderstorm activity, they'll know to get to higher ground. So I think, Jason, we got a lot of this right for a change. And I want to just kind of end with this. I don't know what other questions you got, but I want to make this point. This is the first time the government that I've ever seen has actually done something in less than a year. Okay. We actually had a tragedy. We got a bill passed. We got the actual Water Development Board rules done. The county went out and started buying the stuff because they knew the money was coming. And we actually got those sirens into the worst area within a year. And that makes me sleep easier at night over the July 4th weekend, because I'll know those sirens are there and that folks will get a shot at getting out of the way of a 20, 40 foot wall of water that they can't survive.
Senator, unfortunately, as people, we tend to always move on to that next shiny object right away, and we forget about those big lessons that we should have learned in the past. How crucial is it, if you do want to make any more changes regarding these rivers, to get it done in this next legislative session? Because again, we always seem to move on to the next thing and the next thing and kind of put it in the past.
Well, you know, I don't know, you know, about other people in the past, but I always follow up on my legislation. I know that Senator Perry always follows up on his. And you're right, Jason, you have to do it in the next session, because otherwise you lose the bandwidth. But we'll have enough data by then of who's installed what and where we're at least on the siren systems, to know. And but look, if you know, problem comes up 4 years from now, all of us that are there or not, that are there's our successors or whatever else, are going to have to handle it. Because look, the public won't tolerate this anymore. After Harvey, things really did change in Harris County. Okay. After this event, things have really changed on the Hill Country, and people now recognize that sirens are the way to go. So the question is, are they working? Is there a maintenance problem? Mean time to repair, mean time to failure, what their uptime is? Have they saved people's lives? Do they go off too many times? Whatever. We're going to be asking all these questions, because if government can get it right and get it done within a year, then it's up to us to make sure that we follow up, that it stays at that level of performance.
Senator, last question I have for you here. You took and heard this agonizing testimony from victims' families, from survivors and other folks when you were preparing this legislation. I'm curious whether any of that and whether the experience of these floods change your own thinking about disaster preparedness. I lived in Houston for a while, and every time it clouds up, it floods in Houston. Did any of it affect you personally?
Well, let me go back to the first day that we had these hearings, and when they came in, the Heavens 27 families, the grief was so palatable that at one point I interrupted and I said, "Look, let the state take some of the responsibility off your shoulders, because these families were so devastated that they had made the wrong decision to send their children to these camps." And I said, let us take some of this responsibility off your shoulders. That's how it affected me, Jason. And because there wasn't anything we could say except for that actually helped them, because I saw people pick their heads up. People were crying. They were just looking down. And I said, help us. Let me take that responsibility from you, because it's not all your fault. Because unfortunately, those families have to live with this for the rest of their lives. And those kids were exceptional. And there's nothing we can do to bring them back. So we owe it to them to make sure that we continue this so that there's not another Heavens 27 group anytime in our lifetimes. But it was their grief is just, it's tragic. It's beyond heartbreak. It's profound. And it really affects the legislators that listen to it. Right. So I could tell you that resolve there is to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And I'm just glad that at least for a little while in one hearing, I could take some of the responsibility off their shoulders and onto mine and the rest of the committees.
Senator, I'll close with that. You're right to point out these families. They're amazing. You just sit in awe of what they've been through, and yet they trudge forward, trying to make things better for others so that nobody else has to go through that again. If you could just kind of close us out here with a thought about what these families have done as far as taking on this mission, when they could just as easily, just curl up into their grief because it's so overwhelming. But they've taken on this mission to make things better and to make government work for other people so that they don't have to go through this again. It really is remarkable.
Well, they're remarkable people for being able to share this profound sense of loss. And by sharing that loss, it's galvanized everybody to make sure that not only the main things are done, but that the follow-ups are done. Mm. Look, by the time they came to testify, by the time of the hearing that we had in Kerrville, I already knew that what I was going to do was I was going to keep poking every bear that was in the way of me that had been on record in the past that saying we don't need sirens. I was poking the engineering report, the people that signed off on it, the people that paid it, the people that believed it, until I poked enough bears to where they disappear. Hmm. And that's the type of determination they all show, because they'll make it their lifetime mission to make sure that even if people forget about it, that they'll never forget about it. And if anything ever comes close to a tragedy like this, they'll be back there to remind folks of it. And I think it's a constructive way for them to try to channel their grief. But it is almost impossible to bear for them. Mm. And I think that's why they've banded together in a group to help them make sure that their child's loss has meaning long term. And there isn't anybody who's listening to this testimony who's not affected by it. Jason, if they ever ask you and they ever respond, "Oh, it didn't affect me," well, no offense, they're not human. Okay. Yeah. And more importantly, all the humans that listen to it will never forget. At least this is one that we'll never forget.
Yeah, and not to slight you or any other lawmaker, but it was those families. They pushed this. I think they pushed a lot of this through. They inspired that legislature to stay on it, and they just kept showing up until it was done.
Jason, we might have been able to get a siren bill through, but the idea that we're going to completely reform the camps all at once with licensing and regulations, and you can't operate without a license, that's a sea change in Texas camp history, okay? Because as the other Jason has pointed out, property rights have been a big part of Texas history. The fact that we have these beautiful areas, that we want people to come experience them. We want everybody from around the world, around the country to come see the Texas Hill Country. All this has been great. But when those families made it clear that however the camps operated in the past was no longer going to be acceptable, period, end of statement. So their contribution was enormous.
Yeah, I know those families are no doubt appreciative of the leadership that you showed and that other state leaders showed in getting this legislation passed and changes made for future campers as well. Senator, thank you for the insight. Thank you for what you've done with this legislation as well. It's always good to talk to you.
No, thanks, guys, for following this so much in the last year. It's been definitely worth it.
Absolutely.
So that the public knows that they can, when they go use these rivers in the future, if they hear a siren, get the high ground.
Good luck in finishing that job here in this next legislative session. Senator, thank you so much.